Morning, everyone. Come on, say it like you mean it. Good morning, everyone. There you go. All right, I understand. Probably a little partying last night. It's good to be back here. Last year I was not here, not because of the government shutdown, but my mom passed away right before the Beltwide meeting, so I was where I needed to be. And it's good to get my year started again, being at the Beltwide and up here hoping to pass along some good information. The title of the presentation is The Field Evaluation of the Viper System. I'd like to thank especially my co-author, Gabe Swears of Brattney. Brattney has been a great company to work with. They bring a lot to the table as far as their knowledge of sortation and being able to recognize using technology to recognize things and help to remove the contamination. I cannot say enough about the work that Matthew and all the USDA Gen Labs have done in this. The fact that we're getting this into the market as quickly as it is, that goes back to the open source discussion yesterday. If we were trying to tie this up with patents and this and that, the legalese would get in the way. So we've been able to really make progress very, very fast. Well, first of all, what is Viper? Well, yeah, you know Viper is a snake, but I'll give Greg Holt credit for this. He came up with the acronym, Visual Imaging Plastic Removal. Works for me. You know, I'm the marketing weasel, so that was a great idea that Greg submitted, and that's what we're using it. To give you the background of it, back in 2017, the USDA approached Cotton Incorporated to fund some research for optical sorting. They then partnered with Brattney to develop the prototype system that they put at Meadow Co-op. And then this year, earlier this year, we signed an agreement with Brattney to develop the first basically commercial type prototype of this system. And we were able to get it installed at Southeastern Gin. Kent Fountain has been a great industry leader in promoting the removal of contamination. But when you look at optical sorting, there's two basic elements to it. First, you detect it. You've seen the commercial where the bank is getting robbed and the security monitor is standing there and they said, aren't you going to do something? And he says, well, I'm a security monitor, not a security guard. Well, just saying there's contamination, well, that's great. What are you going to do about it? You've got to come up with a means by which you remove the contamination. There's lots of systems available. You've got, of course, black and white cameras, but this is not a black and white issue. This is a technicolor issue. So you've got RGB cameras, which is what the Viper system uses. We've got hyperspectral and near-infrared, but those technologies are more expensive. And what you have to do is you've got to consider the best value for your desired effectiveness. You want to get as much contamination out as possible without collateral damage, but there is going to be some removal of good product because the whole point is to get the stuff out of the cotton stream. When you look at removal, you can either mechanically divert it or air knives, which is what the Viper uses, or we can have robotic systems. The process, the general process, we're not going to belabor this, but what we do is we've got every foot across the feeder apron on an 8-foot wide feeder, have 8 camera assemblies, and each view's about 14 inches, so you have some overlap between the cameras. Every pixel's analyzed for color, and based on what it sees, you categorize either good or bad. All things good are anything that looks like cotton, the stainless steel, or the background of the feeder apron, and any shadow that doesn't allow light to determine color. What is a reject or rejects? Anything that's considered contamination comprises all the colors outside the profile. If there are enough rejects in that, then you set it as an object to remove, and then based on the location on the feeder apron, the specific air knives, knife or knives fire to remove the contamination. They release the blast of compressed air, which you saw in Matthew's video, and you set on to get it the earliest possible time it could be in the blast zone and the latest possible time. So you want to err on, while you don't want collateral damage, you also err on the side of getting that out of the system, because if you detect it and then don't blow it out, you really haven't accomplished anything. Here's your conceptual drawing, the first infancy of the Viper system on the 700 feeder. You'll note it in blue. Let me see if my mouse, here it is. located on the system, the side view of it, your camera assembly's in here, and you have the open air. This is where this open space here is where we dropped in the contamination you saw in the video that Matthew showed. This is the number one stand at Southeastern Gin with the one and only Kent Fountain with his cool headset on, looking at it, goes, what have I gotten into? Kent couldn't be here today, but I do want to thank him. I cannot thank Kent enough for his leadership, and that he's going to be the chairman of the Cotton Council next year. It's great for us because he knows this is at the forefront of what we need to be working on and putting a concerted effort to doing. There you can see the camera assemblies with the door open on the Viper. And this is a close-up of one of the assemblies. And you've got your control cabinet, which in the case of at Southeastern, that control cabinet is behind the gin stand, standing in front of the gin stand. It's behind on the control side of the gin stand, back where the gin controls are. And on the left, you see the air manifold assembly underneath the feeder apron. The only thing we have to change mechanically really on the feeder is the bottom pivoting apron on the feeder. And because in the case the Lummis Model 700 feeder has a variety of vintages, you have to look at the original assembly drawings to make sure that you have, there's not a one size fits all pivoting feeder apron. So that's where the engineering comes in. And Brattney was very good to work with us and try to work out as many details. I credit Mark Corey and our engineering team and Gabe and the guys at Brattney for working those kind of details out. This is Southeastern Gin, a three-stand Lummis plant originally built in 1995. Stand number one on the left is where we put the first one. We also got the one on stand number three. We got these in late in the season. We didn't get all of them installed. Number two stand, we're going back on Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday we're going to finish the installation on stand number two, and we'll test stands two and three. But for the testing, for this paper, we wanted to get some initial tests and see what kind of recognition we got. We got used five different module wrap colors. I want to thank Tama for donating the pieces of module wrap to us to use. We cut them into 2-inch by 2-inch squares. We did three replications per wrap color. And we did five wrap injections across the width of the feeder at random points from left to right because we knew we had overlap. So we did five wraps. And these are the wraps we did. Conventional yellow, conventional pink, a non-tacky green, a tacky green, and a non-tacky blue. This shows the overall system. You saw the picture Matthew had. We had the big plastic across the top to where we could capture the ejected cotton, and we would close this fire door because we didn't want anything to get into the commercial cotton because we were running at commercial rates. We closed the fire door of the gin stand, and anything that didn't get detected was out on the floor. And so we did a lot of sweeping and a lot of shoveling, but that allowed us to not endanger the cotton in the commercial side. Well, the results we got, as expected, we kind of figured that yellow was going to be the toughest because it's the closest, and that's one of the issues you face when you're optically looking at cotton, because especially if you've had cotton that's gotten wet or stained, you're going to get some yellow tinge to the cotton. And so you combine that with yellow wrap. It was real easy. When we'd eject the yellow pieces, it was a challenge for us to find those yellow pieces in the loose cotton on that sheet. So if we were having trouble looking at it, you can imagine what a challenge it is for those cameras to note it. So of the three, we had four successes and three successes in two for a cumulative of 12. So we got to 80% that we were looking for. But you can see the green non-tacky and the blue non-tacky, we got all the pieces. So I'm hoping that we might move toward an alternative color to, I'm sure John Deere would look more at green than they would at blue, but either way, those are much more detectable, I think, in general. I think we saw that with some of the non-module wrap that was captured. Matthew also talked about this. This is one of the first things once we calibrated the system with the red module paint locks of cotton. This blew out. I first thought it was a piece of yellow module wrap that had been wrapped around a cylinder, but what it turned out, it was a stalk, and it had yellow and green tinges to it, so it's not designed to be a trash removal, but What happens when that gets into a gin stand? Well, you all know that a gin stand does two things really good. It separates the fiber from the seed, and it grinds big trash into small trash. One it's designed to do, the other's an unintended consequence. And that becomes barky type trash. So the fact that we got it out was good. And then Matthew showed that picture of the balloon. And I want to introduce to you live from Georgia the party balloon. It's been traveling with me since mid-December. I keep it under my pillow at night. But that was one of the things that Kent was excited about. The 3 days after we ran the system and did the test, he kept the system running and collected all the things that were ejected. And he said, it caught a lot of things, and that's great. But the thing that really bothers me is probably 20% of it is module wrap. The other stuff we're capturing is academy bags, you know, all kinds of party balloons, you know, other stuff that's not. So, you know, when it's real easy to talk about module wrap and that's the problem. That is not the problem. We've known contamination has been a problem long before John Deere module wrap. So let's get that straight. We're trying to get as much as we possibly can. Black mulching material is a challenge because the camera won't pick up black. And so that is something that's still going to be, as you dual crop fields, you're still going to have the potential of black plastic coming in the system. In conclusion, I'd like to thank, first of all, Cotton Incorporated because of the work they do to promote and create demand for U.S. cotton and for funding this. This wouldn't be where it is without their funding. The Gen Labs, again, the cooperative effort between all the Gen Labs and especially working with the Lubbock guys, they've done a great job. Tama and John Deere have gotten in the middle of this and tried to be a part of the solution, and they have been great to work with and helpful on that. Our multi-company testing team, and that's the people that were at Southeastern helping me. Last and certainly not least, I'd like to thank Kent Fountain and the staff at Southeastern Gin. They are doing great work. They run a top-notch organization. One of the things this system needs is a very clean, dry supply of compressed air. That is as important as any of the electrical or anything else. Kent had a very jam-up system that was dedicated to this and allowed it to be successful. And there's the Motley Bunch, the multi-company testing team. Matthew Pelletier on the left and other folks in the Gen Lab. Then, of course, Gabe in the yellow shirt and some other folks from Lummis, whose names shall remain anonymous for the innocent. But I want to thank all them for helping because without all those bodies there, we couldn't have done what we did in the time we did it. And so it's great to see the industry working together as a team between the Gen Labs, industry, and, of course, the Jenners who have to be cooperative in that. I don't know how much we've got time for questions. I'm going to have Gabe Swears stand up and field any bullets or tomatoes now that does anybody have any questions about the Viper system? It's okay. Go ahead. We have not done it. It will get smaller pieces of trash out because for example, the locks of cotton that we sprayed with red module paint, and of course red module paint's very visible, but those were much smaller than the 2x2. We've not done a massive analysis of, and the smaller the pieces are, obviously the harder it's going to be to detect, especially at the production rates that we're doing. When you're running that cotton down the feeder apron at the rates we're doing, it's not trickling down like the old videos that you saw individual locks of cotton. So that still remains to be seen as far as the smallest amounts it can detect. I think part of that is going to be tied to the color of the wrap. I think very small yellow pieces are just of their nature. They're going to be tougher too. So I'm hoping we might look at brighter colors of that wrap. I know the heat on the module, you know, when it's sitting out and the sun's beating down on it, bears with it. But that all goes into not picking the modules too wet and letting them cook under a darker wrap. But the goal is to make sure U.S. cotton is as clean as possible. One of the things, just as I said, we're going to be at Southeastern doing our part on the Viper this week, but probably sometime around the third week or so of February, we're going to set up a test, and Kent wants the USDA guys to set up the test, and what we're going to do is feed known sizes of plastic into the conveyor distributor, so it will go through the extractor feeder above the gin stand into the saw gin, and we know that those bales are going to, if we don't catch the plastic, those bales are going to have to be bought and taken out of commerce. But we're going to count and quantify the sizes of pieces that are caught and how many were caught, and analyze the trash, analyze the seed cotton coming down, and then know that what didn't get caught in those places is stuff that obviously went on into the lint cleaners and probably into the bale. All right, well, to keep us on schedule, and we're already behind schedule, I'll conclude. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.